Amen. Everybody good? All right. We're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that resurrection power that lives in us. Lord, that dunamis power, that power capable of reproducing itself like a dynamo. I ask you, Father, that you'll fill us with that power. That you fill us till our cup runs over with that dunamis power, that resurrection power. It's everything. It's everything. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Father, help me this morning teach this in the way you put it on my heart. Lord, we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. Whatever the needs are, Father, we lift them up to you. In the best way we know how, we also lay them at the foot of the cross and ask that you'll meet the needs of the people that's on the back of our bulletin. And Lord, there's other folks in our church, in our communities, in our neighborhoods that need the good news of the gospel. Help us spread this gospel. Help us invite people to church this year. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that are running around the world, dangerous places. Thank you for their courage, their commitment, and their obedience to do what you've called them to do. We pray for our military that you'll keep them safe. Oh, Jesus. Pray for our leaders from the top to the bottom of our country. Forgive us of our sins. Thank you that we live in America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Get caught, huh? Got caught. Acts 13, verse 22. Let's read together. After removing Saul, God made David their king, and he testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Everybody said amen? Amen. Now, how could David be considered a man after God's own heart? And we know, we all know, if you've heard the stories and read this part of the Bible, that David made a lot of mistakes. Some pretty rough mistakes, terrible mistakes. If you knew me, I've made a lot of mistakes. If I really knew you, I'd say that you've made a lot of mistakes. Is that fair? Assumption? So to understand why David was a man after God's own heart, we really need to slow down just a minute. I'm going to go into teacher mode here, right? We need to see what characteristics he had to qualify for such an exalted, really, description. I mean, here's God saying, here's this man, right? He's the man after God's own heart. Wow, that's deep. So we're going to take a look at this today. And we just read in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul speaks of really how God feels about King David. The answer to why the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart is answered right here in the Scriptures. It's pretty clear. He said, David basically did whatever God wanted him to do. Don't let this go over your head. Even David, with all his mistakes, everything that he did wrong, he still focused in and tried his best to do what God had called him to do. He remained obedient. Now, an obvious question, definitely, is how could God call him the man after his own heart when he had committed all these terrible sins? Now, we learn much about David's character when we read Psalms. And David basically opened up his life in the book of Psalms. He recorded it so that everybody could examine the good, the bad, and the ugly. I couldn't do that, could you? I couldn't do that. But David was obedient, and he did what God was asking him to do. And I want you guys to read into this in your own personal lives here. David's life was a portrait of success and failure. And in the Bible, it highlights the fact that David was not perfect. And neither are we. Correct? So what made David a cut above the rest for God to call him a man after his own heart? David had a deep desire to follow God's will and to do everything that God asked him to do. He was committed. He was committed to God. So therefore, he was a man after God's own heart. So let's look at some of the characteristics that David had in his life. So hang with me. Part of why David is called the man of God's heart is he had absolute faith in God. It was that simple. He had faith in God. Now, Lynn and I had some plans last weekend to go and get away for a couple days, but things got mixed up and we were not able to go. We had something that come up Saturday, so we were not able to get away. But we had Grant scheduled to come and preach, and he was excited about that. So we just got up Sunday morning and said, let's go. We just took off to Jacksonville, went to Jacksonville Beach. That's where Lynn and I first lived after we got married. And so that place is kind of special to us. We looked around and rode around, and we had the opportunity to go to Joby Martin's church. It's called the Church of 1122. Some of you are familiar with that. If you're not, you need to go check him out on YouTube and go to their website. He's great preaching. So we scooted up, and the church started at what time? 1122. It actually starts one at 9:30, but the main service starts at 1122. So we got there, and it was great, and it was big, you know, and it's very theatrical, and kind of like, well, I want to bust Pete out, but I feel the same way. The music was real loud, and it was, you know, and it was good, but the preaching, man, the teaching, he just preached. It was really good, and I needed that. I just sat right there, and just he poured into my life, and then it was really, really good, but if you don't know, they named their church after Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. And set the scene a little bit. The disciples are asking Jesus. They're kind of freaking out about, well, how can we do this? How can we do that? And Jesus was like, time out. He said, look, I tell you, if you can look at that mountain, you can tell that mountain to move over here. You know? And Jesus said this. Literally, Mark 11, 22 is this. Jesus told the disciples, have faith in God. So their entire church and ministry is based on that scripture. Have faith in God. And that really stood out to me and ministered to me, because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll end up in this, I call it this mystical land. This mystical land, this spiritual, hyper-spiritual land that we can get trapped up in if we're not careful. How am I going to do this? How is this going to work out? What should we do? Where should we go? And if you're not careful, that'll actually start causing anxiety in your life. When Jesus was trying to tell, the disciples were heading there. That's where they were going. They were kind of freaking out a little bit. And Jesus told them, have faith in God. That's it. Have faith in God. God is for us, not against us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Right? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Man, there's so many scriptures that's wrapped up in that. Just trust the Lord, right? You all know Proverbs 3. You probably learned that in kindergarten or something. Proverbs 3, right? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. But in everything you do, trust God. And He will direct your paths. Have faith in God. I believe this morning that there's some of you right now that are, you're trying to make a decision. You're trying to figure it out. You're wondering about this or that and in this. And I really believe God's telling you this morning, just have faith in God. He's got your back. Like David said, He is trustworthy. He is. Nowhere in Scripture at this point better illustrates than in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David was just a young shepherd boy and he killed the giant and chopped his head off. Amen? Now, shortly before this duel, we can see direct evidence of David's faith when he said this, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will surely deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And then King Saul's like, whoa, okay, all right. He said, go, the Lord will be with you. And we know the story about how David, you know, and what all he does there. David was fully aware. Everybody say fully aware. One more time. He was fully aware that God was in control of his life and would deliver him out of this danger. This morning, I want you to know, and accept, I know you know this, but you may need the cobwebs, you know, cobwebs, the dust brushed off. But God is fully in control of your life. Believe that and rest in that. I mean, how else could David have had this much calmness and confidence? See, David learned early on in his life that God was to be trusted and God was to be obeyed. He learned this early in his life. Now, as we see in Scripture, David's faith pleased God. And God rewarded David for his faithfulness. Everybody listen, especially young folks. God will reward you for your faithfulness. I've seen that in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. Most of you here, you know, a little younger than me and a little older than me. But you know, right? God will honor your faithfulness. I'll tell you a quick story about my buddy Steve. Some of you know Steve Cooksey, you know. Steve wouldn't mind. I've actually got permission from him to share this a little bit. But Steve was a successful businessman. I mean, his dad started Cooksey Steel in Tifton, Georgia. It's a multi-million dollar business. And Steve started drinking, went to college, started drinking. Wound up alcoholic. Wound up being disowned from his family. In fact, it's like his cousin or something ended up inheriting the business. And he wound up broke with nothing, busted. He ended up at Penfield about 10, 12 years ago at their old campus up in Athens. Went through there, rededicated his life, started serving the Lord, felt God called him to do this kind of work, they sent him down to me at our South Campus. I trained him, taught him, got his credentials, and he became a very good counselor. He kept his eye on Jesus. He was faithful. And God was honoring him. God was directing his steps. And he finally wanted to get a job where he could make money. And I got him a job at Turning Point Hospital back then. And he became a therapist, a really good one. And then, honestly, God knows, one day I was, you know, I'm asked to come and speak at different conferences a lot, I'll be honest with you. And I turn down a lot because I just don't have the time, I don't have the energy to go. But I've been giving them to Steve. And about 2 years ago, I gave one to Steve. It was about 1,000 people. There was a big social worker counselor conference. And Steve went and he taught. And he did a great job. And out in the audience was the state director for all the DUI schools in the whole state of Georgia. Probably 1,000. All DUI treatment programs and DUI schools. He called Steve, said, "Hey, would you be interested in the job?" He was like, okay, I guess. Anyway, make a long story short, Steve got hired as the assistant director of the entire state of Georgia. He's in control and responsible for all those. God was honoring his faithfulness. I talked to him 2 weeks ago. He called me all excited. Guess what? I was like, what? Well, I guess it's being recorded, but I don't think anybody in Atlanta in the Capitol is going to be listening to this. But he said the state director told him that he's going to be retiring in about 3-6 months. And he wants to move Steve in there to take his place. So in just a little while, he's going to be the state director of all. I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, praise the Lord. So he's making an impact in thousands of lives. And God is honoring his faithfulness. I think that's a beautiful story. Another reason that David was a man after God's own heart is that he absolutely loved God's law. He loved it. Out of the 150 Psalms, David has been given credit for over half of them. And this is where he's pouring out his heart. He's, you know, I truly believe he's listening to the Holy Spirit, but he's pouring out his heart, writing down his good, bad, and ugly. Right? For everyone to see and everyone to read and for everyone to learn from. Wednesday night, we were in the men's D-Life group on Wednesday night. We got into the subject of journaling. And it kind of reminded me of something I used to do years ago. And I got away from it. You know how things change. But journaling down your prayers. And a little bit about how your day went. It's therapeutic. It really is. More than anything, like Ashley had said, me and Ashley talked about that too, is that when you journal down your prayers, just keep it real simple. 5 minutes. 8 or 9 minutes. Journal down your prayers. And what happens is when you look back on it, like 6 months later, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've done that. A year later, you look back, ah, man, I'm a stupid. You know, how can I be so duh, you know, about this? And you'll learn. I know it's not very professional to say duh and stupid, but anybody know what I'm talking about? You look back and like, man, how could I believe that? Why didn't I? And you'll identify your patterns too of how you doubt or whether you're confident or any of that kind of stuff. So I would encourage you to give it a try. Start journaling your prayers. And you'll see how God starts answering your prayers. He will. Okay? Now we find a beautiful example of how David loved God's word in Psalms 119, 47 and 48. Here it is. It says, listen to the words here. It says, "For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. And I meditate on your decrees." And studying this week, I just got myself, do I really love the Bible? I'm just answering that question. I mean, as a preacher, you know, I'm supposed to say, oh, yeah, I love the Word of God. But I don't want to fall into some trap where I'm just studying to do a sermon or I'm just studying because I'm on a subject or something. But do I really love the Bible? I mean, it's a valid question, right? And I'm asking you the same thing, not trying to condemn you or shame you or anything like that, but it's a valid question. Do we really love the Bible? Do we love to get in it and read it and study it? And, you know, I don't know. Is it not hard to see David's complete love and dedication for God's Word? Now, David also talks about meditating on God's statutes. Meditation, I believe, is a very important part of studying the Bible, learning the Bible, memorizing, you know, the Bible. It's a very important part of our prayer life. Just being able to meditate, being able to read a scripture, think about that scripture, ask the Holy Spirit, how does this apply to my life? And then maybe throughout the day, think about that scripture. Just kind of think about it throughout the day. Maybe put it in your pocket or in your purse or something and kind of think about it. Meditate it. Meditate on it all day. Psalms 119:1 says this. Psalms 119:1. Everybody good? Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. That's beautiful to me. Now, I'm going to say it again. Right? I'm going to read it again. Psalms 119:1. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Another reason that David was called a man after God's own heart is that he was truly thankful. I mean, God had come through for him. In spite of his mistakes and errors and sin and everything else, God come through for him. God looked out for him. He looked after him. God had his back. God loved him. God loves you. In spite of everything we've done in our past, God still loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loved David. And David was truly thankful for that. When we really grasp and understanding the best way we know how, deep down in our soul, of how thankful we are for the cross. I can't help but be moved in my emotions. Well, that's all emotions. Yeah, it is. You'll be okay. Maybe you need to get a little emotional. Right? Because when you really, really, deep in your heart, man, you understand how Jesus died on that cross and saved you from your wicked sin. It makes me thankful. It makes me grateful. Thank God for that old rugged cross. Psalms 26:6-7 says, I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. If you ever really want to witness to people and they ask you, where do you go to church? Or, you know, how do you know you're going to heaven? Or are you saved, as they say, you know? Or just say yes, 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 and then, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you how he changed me. It's cool to tell them about the church, but be honest with you, most people don't care nothing about this church. Let me straightforward with you. They don't care about this building. They don't care about this nice green carpet and any of this kind of stuff. They don't care about the sign. I know we spend a lot of money on it. But what they really care about is, how has Jesus changed your life? What has God done for you? How has He helped you? Seriously, now don't be offended because it says something about a church building. But seriously, how they're more interested in how Jesus has changed your life. How has He mended your marriage? How has He helped you? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for peace. Peace of mind. And we have the answer. David's life was marked by seasons of great peace and prosperity, as well as times of fear and despair. But through all these seasons, in David's life, he never forgot to thank the Lord, to be grateful to God for what he had. It is truly, I believe, one of David's greatest characteristics. I mean, we all know this verse. We all have heard it a million times, probably. Psalms 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give God thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Bless his holy name. All of us would do well to follow David's lead of offering praise and thanksgiving to him. Now, one last thing, and then we'll get ready to close. Yes, we all know David sinned and made mistakes. And throughout the years, I've kind of been rough on him. But I need to change that. And God's helped me this week studying them. I mean, I don't know. We might preach on David for a little while. We'll see what the Lord has. David repented of his sins. He truly did. He repented of his sins. Now, we can all read about Bathsheba and 2 Samuel and all this. And here's the thing too, guys. When the mighty fall, they fall hard. We've seen this in our generations, haven't we? I mean, preachers, you know, TV evangelists, preachers and all this, you know, they're out of the light. Nowadays we got YouTube and Google and everything else. Boy, you just like, when the mighty fall, they fall hard. And David fell hard. You know, and his whole sins are recorded in this book here that we all can read thousands of years later. Thank God, right? I'm glad I didn't have YouTube when I was a teenager. Is it okay to say that? Adam, you agree? Thank God I didn't have YouTube to record all the crazy, foolish things I did. You know, I'd be embarrassed to even look at my mom. Sorry, Mom. I didn't do too much bad. And I've gotten a hold now. She probably didn't hear me. Oh, Jesus, help me. Amen. It's like our kids were over at our house for whatever it was, Memorial Day night. And the boys started talking about this and that. And it was like, remember this, remember that? And Lynn's like, you didn't tell me y'all did that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I wasn't that bad. It was like, you know, crawling through a pipe at VSU and coming up on another side and just crazy stuff. I was like, oh my, thanks for not telling us you did all this crazy stuff, you know. Anyway, David recognized that he had sinned. He had sinned against his brothers, like his military brothers, and he sinned against the people. He sinned against his family, and mostly he sinned against God. But David knew this, and that's why it says that in 2 Samuel, David said to Nathan, right? Y'all remember the story? He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then Nathan, you know, had some good news really for him. He said, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you're not going to die. Listen closely. All of us have sinned. We have done wrong. When Jesus died on that cross, and that old rugged cross, and that blood flowed down that cross, No stripes went on his back. And God raised him from the grave. That's the good news. And the good news, if you believe in this, the Bible says that you're born again. You're saved. You've been adopted into the family of God. And your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, you're going to heaven. Your sins will not be counted against you anymore. That's the resurrection power. That's the good news. Amen? Just like the scripture here, just like Nathan told David, you shall not die. And I'm here this morning to remind you again, for real, because I forget sometimes. If you're saved, born again, you are not going to die. You will live forever. This old body may give up the ghost and they bury you, but that's not you. You are not going to die. You're going to go to heaven immediately. Because y'all know the scripture. Paul said what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That gives me assurance. That gives me assurance. It goes on to say, though, that by admitting our sin and asking for forgiveness is only really half the equation to walk in victory on this earth. We must repent of our sins. Ask God to forgive you, and He will. But we also need to repent of our sins. In other words, turn away and stop doing that. That's part of the process of walking in victory while we're still on this earth. Yes, I believe you can get your fire insurance. Be born again, saved, going to heaven. Still dabble around in this sin, and it messes you up mentally. It calls you, we reap what we sow. So we do need to repent of our sin and turn away from it. And David is a good example of doing that. One of my favorite verses that I try my best to pray, especially when I know I've done wrong and I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And I encourage you, adopt this in your life. Okay? Psalms 51:1-2. Psalms 51, here it is, ready? Listen up. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, that is beautiful, isn't it? That is beautiful that we can rest in the scripture. All right, I'm going to close here as Danny comes up to play. It says, David was a man after God's own heart because he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. And yes, his faith was tested on a grand scale. And he failed many times, like all of us. But after his sin, he sought and received the Lord's forgiveness, and then he repented and tried his best not to do those things again. And sometimes that's all we can do is try our best, right? None of us are perfect. None of us are going to get it right every time. Me, you, or deacons, or whoever. What we need to do is rely 100% on God's grace, His mercy. And then we just try to do our best to repent from those things that we know we need to stop doing. And the final answer, David loved God's word and sought to follow it to the best of his abilities. As a man of God's own heart, David really is a great role model for all of us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. as I say this always, your word is encouraging and gives us strength and gives us guidance and also corrects us. Sometimes it puts us in our place. Well, we need that. We need the truth. We need the truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And as David, Father, I just pray that we somehow develop, grow into where we just really truly love your word. And God, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, or during this song of invitation, I ask that they would come forward, and I'd be glad to pray with them, and we can settle that today. They can get saved and give their life to you, and their names can be written down in heaven. If somebody like to join our church or get baptized, let me know. Do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.